STL Soccer Talk is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Greetings and welcome to STL Soccer Talk here at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. I'm Tom Timmerman, beat writer for the Post-Dispatch, covering St. Louis City SC. And across the table from me here in the podcast studio, Beth O'Malley. Hello, Beth.
Hello, Tom.
Hi there. As we said on the video we just recorded, really, in a certain sense, nothing has happened
right
since we were here last, because they have St. Louis City SC has played its second 0-0 tie, which is, you know, again, the best advertisement for you know, action-packed sport is games that end 0-0. And if you're listening to this, you in all likelihood are a good soccer fan and have watched a lot of soccer games and appreciate that 0-0 games sometimes happen. It has happened twice, and, you know,
twice in 2 weeks,
if they can get it out of their system now. But this was a team that, you know, has scored, you know, at the end of last season, was scoring a lot of goals.
They were scoring a lot of goals last season, but they were allowing more, which means they were losing games. Hello, this is how sports works. But it, as I said during the video, it's almost like the team needs an offensive coach as well as a defensive coach. Melberg clearly is focused on the defense. It's where a lot of things needed to be fixed and adjusted. I think after two games, we can say he's been pretty successful at that change. I mean, San Diego was pushing and pressing, and the defense was at least stopping the goals. They weren't able to really start organizing good attacks from that back line. We saw a lot of kind of desperate, kick the ball, get it out of here. But that's what they needed to do in some of these cases. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, we saw almost no organized attack at all during that game. So it's like they need somebody to reteach the forwards how to shoot the ball.
Well, Melberg was talking, when I was talking to him today, he was talking about, you know, they were just so bad on the ball.
If you
look at the, like the passing numbers, that San Diego, I think, had maybe three times as many passes as City did, because City would get the ball and quickly turn it over.
Very quickly turn it over.
And in that first 20 minutes of the game, I don't know that they crossed midfield in that point, because, it was just all in their end. And if you look at the flow charts for the game and who had possession, it was San Diego, you know, just a straight line for them, and occasional blips for City SC, but really no sustained possession, no getting the ball in the box and moving around and making things, you know, chaos, having, it just wasn't happening. They were getting the ball in there and they were giving it away.
I actually have it in my game notes that at the 23rd minute, there was a cross from Totland and the goalie came out to save it. And that was the first dangerous possession of the game. I mean, it mm-hmm. was so long that I was starting to wonder if they remembered to push.
And so there were, you know, significant issues there. And if you think back to watching that game, and there were large portions where, you know, like, is Edward Leuven on the field? Mm-hmm. Is Marcel Hartl on the field? You know, and so it was a tough time making things happen out there, just with the personnel they had, and Melberg was saying, if we knew it was going to be that bad, we'd have come up with a different game plan. If we knew we were going to be that bad on the ball, because you just come up, we were bad on the ball.
They were bad on the ball, and unfortunately, one of the players who seemed, if not the worst of the bunch on the ball, but who needed to keep the ball in his possession to create opportunity, was Betcher. And he seemed to give up the ball at every chance. You know, his first touch seemed to be directly to a San Diego player almost every time, whether it was a header or at his feet.
And the difference between week one, where they didn't have these problems, mm-hmm. and week two, where they did, for one, it was that Klaus was out there in week one. And you wonder if Betcher works better when he's playing off Klaus, if that combination
right.
fits better. The problem you have is, if, as we've talked about before, you run out of positions to put players in.
Right.
If you've got five in the back and you've got Berkey at six, if you've got Leuven, that's seven, and then if you've got Klaus and Betcher, that's 8 and 9, then you're left with two more guys. And then do you have, if you want to have a defensive mid, if you want to have Chris Durkin there when he's healthy, and then you've only got one guy, and then you've got either Hartl or Toyert, and Hartl and Toyert seem to work well together. And so then can you only have Klaus or Betcher out there at once, because
right.
there's so many other guys you just got to play? Or do you have to go back to a four-man backfield?
And Toyert and Betcher last season produced.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, they were not.
Uh-huh.
Other than the possession, I can't argue with Melberg that was one of the bigger problems of that game.
Yeah. And the possession stats speak to that.
Yes.
They had 33.3%, I think it was exactly one-third of the game possession with the ball, to 66.7. And, boy, I mean, for one, that's the lowest possession total mm-hmm. in club history for a game that did not have a red card
mm-hmm.
in it. So that right there is stunning.
Yes.
And, you know, their XG was, I think it might go into the books as 0.1, but it was actually below. It was rounded up to 0.1 from 0.08.
Which is awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost by luck, you should almost. I mean, because if you have, like, corner kicks or whatever, that puts the ball in the box, and that should. But they didn't have many of those either, because they didn't have the pressure to force things.
Yeah, I think you put it really well. They seemed to forget that the other half of the field existed.
That was a tough night for them. But they managed to get a tie.
I've now started keeping track in my notes. The first tie was a tie that felt like a loss.
Mm-hmm.
This tie was definitely, mm-hmm. although you'd hate to say it feels like a win, coming out of it 0-0, given what San Diego was doing, is pretty remarkable.
Yes. After the game, I was asking Melberg, you know, did you feel fortunate to get a win or to get a tie out of this one? You know, the mm-hmm. last one, you felt unfortunate to get the tie. And he said, well, we got a tie, and it's on the road, and a tie is an acceptable thing.
Yeah.
But you know, they clearly needed to do better
they
offensively.
Did.
You know, were there goals to be had? I mean, you know, in the broadcast, you know, where Taylor Twellman said, you know, these two teams could play another 90 minutes and the score is going to be 0-0.
Which I think is giving St. Louis City's defense more credit. I don't know that they could have played another 90 minutes. But, yeah, it definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Defense, you know, and this was Olaf Milberg's charge in taking over, was the team has got to be better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no denying the fact that two games in, they are way better
yes.
defensively.
And Kessler mm-hmm. is proving that City probably got the better end of the trade it made, as controversial mm-hmm. as it was with fans at the time.
Yeah. No, he's been, I mean, if you had a team MVP after two games, I think
it's
clearly Henry Kessler. I mean, Roman Berkey has now made one save in two games because the ball just hasn't got there. And there have been some dangerous balls into the box that have been broken up, and so that's something that goalkeepers do, is to stop plays before shots are taken.
Certainly.
But he just hasn't had much to do, and part of that has been because of Henry Kessler. Now, also, you're playing with, in effect, an extra guy in the back with three center backs and then the left and right back. So you should be better because you have
more people,
more defenders there. So that's, you know, by definition, you should be better from that. But they are doing better, and they're really, really limiting the opponent's chances. And, you know, they've done it without, you know, this is not their first choice backfield combination.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, and it's not, and they don't have their first choice defensive midfielder either.
Right.
I mean, so they have been without the fact that they haven't had Joachim Nielsen, Timo Baumgartel, or Chris Durkin for Durkin for one half of one game.
Exactly.
But that's six total halves there for these guys. They've only had 1/6 of that so far. That's been a good accomplishment to do that. Nielsen is going to be out another week. He did not practice on Tuesday. And Olaf Melberg said, yeah, he's going to get another check on Friday, but they think he'll be back next week.
You know, fingers crossed for him that he is. Mm-hmm. We talked before the season had even started that he needs to stay healthy, and he immediately is not healthy.
Yeah. It's a knee, so I don't know if it's connected to his previous knee problems with his Nagas, but he's getting checked out Friday, and Milberg seemed reasonably confident that he'll be training next week. Now, does that mean probably another week until he's good to go?
Right.
Because he'll be off his feet for 3 weeks, which becomes a problem.
Right.
Chris Durkin making progress. And I asked about Timo Baumgartel, who has been sick, but Milberg just said, it's been so long since he played, and he's not quite in the shape he needs to be in to play, but that should be happening soon. But we need to do more work with Timo to get him ready. So, in the best case, when the world is finally in the right place, City would have Kessler, Nielsen, and Baumgartel in the back, and then Durkin in front of them is the defensive mid. And that should be a really good group. So far, we've only seen Henry Kessler, Kessler has been really good out there.
Yes.
And so that is something. But, Cal Hebert, Giannis Horn was in there this week. They're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of affecting Thomas Totland's play. He's not has been less noticeable out there, I'd say, over these first 2 weeks, which is not what you want. I think
any player on the soccer field would want to be noticed in a good way, which means they're making an impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not great when you listen to most of, I was watching from home. So when you listen to the broadcast and you don't hear certain players' names, like Leuven, you mentioned, seem to have little impact on the game.
Yeah. And for the second week, he was subbed out early, which is something he normally has not been subbed out early. When I say early, like 60th or 70th minute.
I mean, it was noted he was carrying a yellow card, but that's here. I mean, that could be why, or it could be not part of it.
Yeah. So, Toyert started the game. He came out at the half. Melberg said afterwards that was the plan to take him out. He's only to get him 45 minutes. And then, see after that. And then they brought in Durkin to play the second half. So he kind of had two guys you could go 45 minutes, put them together into one, 190-minute guy out of it. Again, you'd like to think Toyert and Durkin, when they are fully fit and good to go, that's a good situation.
A stronger team when they're on the field. Right.
And so we'll see. It's amazing how different those first and second games were offensively.
Yes.
That the first game, plenty of chances, couldn't finish it. Second game, no chances, nothing to finish. I mean, maybe their finishing would have been better on Saturday in San Diego.
I think, did they have, I'm trying to remember and scan my notes pretty quickly, I don't know that they had a corner kick.
They might not have. It might have been 6-0.
I think they did. I apologize. I don't have the stats in front of me. So, if you're not generating corners, that's just another sign of lack of chances, lack of push up the field.
Yeah. So, again, I think at the beginning of the year, everyone would have said, well, we'd like to see the defense be better. But I don't think anyone thought, but the offense is going to vanish. And Chris Durkin was talking to him and said, we're doing more. We have done more work defensively. And Melberg kind of thought about when I asked him, and it was like, I suppose, that's the And we've done more, you know, more work on defense. So one problem solved, another problem needing to be.
Another problem. I mean, it, whack-a-mole. It's just there will always be things coaches need to fix. That's why they have a job. That's the nature of sports. But I think maybe a little bit more focus on the offense would be a good idea.
Yeah. And there is no reason for this not to be a good offensive team.
Exactly.
I mean, we saw that last year, what these guys can do. Mm-hmm. But Milbrook kept coming back. We just were not good on the ball. We just turned the ball over a lot and didn't keep it. And so we never had chance to do anything with it.
Right.
And, yeah, that's the kind of thing that's going to hurt you. Turning the ball over will not lead to good situations. And in where you turn it over also can cause really dangerous situations.
Very. So. And, you know, for an inaugural match for San Diego, I don't know that the fans there saw a lot they could be very happy with. I mean, they couldn't see the defense because there was no offense on City's side. And San Diego's offense, try as they might, couldn't bury it. So, you know, they had plenty of opportunities to chant my least favorite chant ever, and a lot of people's least favorite chant ever. And there were warnings on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. MLS, I think, is going to have to do something about that if the chant continues in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and other teams, it's popped up occasionally in other places, and teams have taken quick and immediate steps to try to address it.
Right.
And CONCACAF has a, you know, because it's common in CONCACAF games, because it has originated in Mexico.
Right.
And this is going to be a problem for San Diego because they are drawing fans from south of the border where this is a much more common thing.
Right.
But CONCACAF, you know, is like, you know, will, you know, instructs refs that, you know, if it keeps going, you take the players off the field.
Right.
And then if it doesn't stop, then you call off the game and it becomes a 3-0 loss.
Right.
So it's now never happened in MLS. It would be a big step to take.
It would be a big step to take. And in, I believe it was in added time, the announcer seemed to be saying if discrimination continues, the match will be stopped. But that's an added time. And, you know, okay, the match is stopped with 2 minutes of extra time left. Not a big deal. From what I could hear on the broadcast, the chant started in about the 19th, 20th minute. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of game to continue. And we should say it doesn't sound like, from what the supporters groups have said and the coach as well, doesn't sound like it was coming from the supporters section. It's not those fans. But it was loud enough to be heard on the broadcast, which is pretty loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the kind of thing you got to stop quickly because, I mean, San Diego does not want that to be part of
the San Diego flow.
Yeah. That's not something they want to have.
No.
And it's been a problem throughout CONCACAF for some time now.
Right.
The Athletic did a breakdown on which, because it happens before free kicks or goal kicks.
Right.
And they, you know, on long goal kicks, it was more likely to happen than on short goal kicks.
So you got to wind up to the inappropriate word.
Word, yeah. So if Berkey plays it out of the back quickly, then it was less of a thing. But in any case, yeah, a festive night for San Diego.
Yes. A boring TIFO, though.
A boring TIFO, yeah. It was kind of black and white, really. Was there any color? Well, I guess it was blue. Maybe it was that kind of a steel blue.
It's hard to tell if it was blue or black. It's that dark of a color.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of like we are team name, and that was about it.
San Diego FC is a complete and for people who cover a club called St. Louis City SC, at least there was an extra word in there that City sprung for. City.
None of these people naming the teams are thinking about SEO when they do it.
Like, no.
How hard it is to, like, you have to have, is it SC or FC?
They're an FC.
So you have to get that right in order, or you just do San Diego MLS. And in that case, why not just call the team San Diego MLS?
Yeah.
That's the digital editor and me being like, these people don't understand.
San Diego has been it's been a market that's been interesting to the league. It's never been. I mean, it's got, soccer has a big following in San Diego, and in part of it, it is. I mean, there's obviously it's right on the U.S.-Mexico border. There is a large Hispanic population. You know, there are people who live in San Diego who, for years, have driven across the border to go see Club Tijuana play in the Mexican League. It was right there, and they'd bring friendlies into U.S. soccer, would bring them in, and they didn't always do really great when they were there. But it was a market that was kind of too valuable. If you want to reach the Mexican market, it's the way. Because here in baseball, the San Diego Padres baseball team have one of the worst media contracts in Major League Baseball because their market area is so small because – if you have Los Angeles 3 hours to the north, and really you have Orange County 2 hours, an hour and a half to the north, and you've got the Dodgers and the Angels, which are big factors there. And then San Diego is right up against the border, and so it's got this tiny corner, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so, but for MLS, which is much more international, soccer being the international sport, okay, we can get those people in, you know, in Mexico to come and watch games.
Right.
But it's
And we can sell the MLS package on Apple even in Mexico.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Dan Caesar wrote about how Apple is not releasing any stats for any of the games. But we basically have no idea how many people are watching City SC unless they come on cable television or regular television, and those games do not do well.
Yeah, and I think I've made the argument here before, which is that if people who regularly and religiously watch these games probably have MLS season pass.
Yes.
And so games that are on Fox are still on MLS season pass. So they are more likely to go to the place they have always gone to and watch games on MLS season pass. So then the Fox audience is that world of people that follow St. Louis City, but not enough to get the season pass package.
Right.
And so, you know, or casual viewers.
But it is frustrating that, you know, we can't get basically any kind of data on how many people are watching, how many subscriptions there are for the whole package. Apple clearly is putting quite a bit of money into this in terms of the production and hosts or commenters, things like that, but not making it available to the public. And it's not like something where I'm like, we have a right to the information. It's just, it would be really great to know. And it would be fascinating to know pre-Messi to after Messi's signing, what that impact was.
Yeah. And this question gets asked of MLS Commissioner Don Garber at almost every press conference, you know, that he has had, which is, what about Apple TV? And he said, there are numbers, but we're not sure what the numbers mean because you've got people watching live, but since it's, some people are watching in foreign countries or watching it maybe at a different time, how do we, if you watch the same day, how is it all going to count? There's the, you know, 360 package where people are watching, you know,
all the games at once.
All games at once. So it's, he said, they just haven't come up with a good number yet, which is also, if they had a great number, they would say they had a great number.
Yeah, that does, frankly, sound like a bit of an excuse for why they're not releasing numbers. They're not good. They don't want to admit it, which leads to questions about the end of the contract, although I think that's a fairly long way off.
It's a 10-year contract.
Right.
So, so it's got, this is year three of a 10-year contract. I think Apple was going to stick with it, certainly as long as Lionel Messi is in the league.
Yeah.
And then if things change after that, it'll be a different factor. And I think that obviously there's a case to be made that in new markets in San Diego, in St. Louis, maybe in Charlotte, mm-hmm. the team before St. Louis City, that it is a good way for casual fans to get to know the team, to see what it's like. Because still, yeah, the universe of people who have seen St. Louis City play is limited to season ticket holders and people who have the Apple TV package.
Right. I mean, who are willing to pay. Well, either you can get it for free in various ways or willing to pay up to $80 for an additional subscription to Apple TV. That's a pretty decent lift.
Yeah. And, you know, it is the wave of the future that streaming is going to be in 10 years, you know, where things are. You know, and soccer was like
10 years. It's
5 years.
Coming faster than that, even.
5 years, 4 years. Yeah, because certainly the Cardinals are, you know.
Are moving into streaming finally. Thank goodness. I mean, I have not had cable. I haven't had cable in a long time. Mm-hmm. And now that more and more teams are moving to streaming, I'm thrilled. This is great for me. It's not great for people who don't do streaming at all, who rely on cable. Mm-hmm. And it's not great for cable companies either.
Yeah. But here's kind of my pet peeve about it is that so MLS has a streaming package. And then ESPN has a streaming package.
Yep.
And if you want to watch the Premier League, well, that's the Peacock
streaming package.
Is all of a sudden you need to have and college basketball. I mean, St. Louis University's had games on, I don't know, 5, 6 different platforms this year. All of a sudden this gets
expensive.
Expensive and it gets complicated. And you have to say, How much do I want to watch Premier League? How many Premier League games will I watch?
Right.
And so that's one of the tough parts about this. And the answer to it in the past is always, well, cable. Games were on cable.
And if they're not there, you just can't see them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I think way back to the Dark Ages where none of this was available anyway. I mean, when, you know, the thoughts that you would see.
Flip through, what, like 4 channels and you were like, well, now I'm done.
Yeah. But even later than that, even in the dawn of ESPN, when the Champions League was hard to find. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, you know, you'd have to find a bar somewhere. I remember going to, you know, Sportsman's Lounge, you know, in Sportsman's Park in Ladue to watch a Champions League game. Me, Bill McDermott, Ty Keogh, and someone else in this, you know, in a bar watching the game.
I want to hear way more about what you talked about during that game.
That's how it is. And so that's the one complication.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, if I want to watch MLS games, I want to watch the Cardinals and the Blues, all of a sudden, it is funny. So, you know, some organization was going to put together like a package that was going to
link all of it.
These things together. And someone, it might have been Taylor Twellman, who said, you know, that used to exist. It was called cable. And now we're starting it again. Hey, what a great idea.
It is a great idea. But, I mean, for example, I was able to watch the game. I was able to go on social media and see that people were really upset about this chant. I was able to go back to the game and listen to for myself and say, okay, that's the first time I heard the chant on the broadcast, which is way earlier than they started warning the stadium about it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the broadcasters never mentioned it. The commenters never mentioned it. I did read that the Spanish language commenters were mentioning it, but my Spanish is not good enough to go through the game and pick that up.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
So it's funny that the Apple Jake Zevin and Taylor Twellman doing the game on Apple, didn't mention it, but you could hear the stadium announcement, sometimes almost overpowering them, saying, stop doing that. Stop doing
that. No discrimination.
So I don't know if there were audio adjustments that needed to be made there, but it was the certainly the PA announcements were quite...
Were very loud.
Were very loud.
Yes.
However, the world's... We're still in a world of Apple TV.
Yes.
It's not going away.
No.
For, you know, they got another 7 years after this one. Do they get to that one? I don't know, because every year they get closer... Every year into the contract, it's closer to being streaming. I mean, it's what the world is catching up with this contract. And if Apple said, no, we're done after year five, someone else is going to say, hey, great, we'll start streaming these games. It's not going to change.
And the problem for MLS is, at that point, surely they have to disclose some numbers, at least to the companies interested in purchasing the streaming.
Yeah.
And that's when this could be the best deal MLS can get, even if Apple drops them.
Yeah. Enough TV talk. Does it count as TV talk when it's not really TV? I don't know. It's not streaming.
I'm not sure.
Media talk.
Media talk.
City's got the LA Galaxy coming up.
Yes.
On another Sunday night, or another, it's not another game of the week. They were on Saturday night, but this will be Sunday night game of the week, which means it's a better start time.
Thank goodness.
6 o'clock start time. You think you were, I don't know how late you were up, but
I
was up later.
You were up later for sure. But one of the advantages of being up that late is I can be in my pajamas.
Yeah. And this is a weird – the next 2 weeks for City are intriguing because – so this week they'll play the Los Angeles Galaxy in Carson, California on Sunday. Then they'll play the dreaded, hated, yet-to-beat-them Seattle Sounders on next Saturday, a week from Saturday. Seattle's still the only team in the league they haven't beaten.
Yes.
So Seattle, not a team you want to see. But – both of those teams are still alive in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Which means they're playing more games.
Which means Wednesday night, in Costa Rica for Galaxy, and then back to play Sunday. Meanwhile, Seattle plays Saturday night. They play next Wednesday in Mexico and then come to St. Louis to play. So when Seattle gets here, that'll be their fifth game in 15 days. So if City's ever looking for a chance...
I was about to say.
...to beat Seattle, this is going to be it coming up.
About as good as it's going to get at home against a tired team.
Yeah. So the schedule is shaping up favorably for City SC, and that they'll get a Galaxy team, which is struggling on its own and which is going through a really busy schedule right now.
Right.
And then look at a Seattle team, which has done well, but which is going to be in the same situation. So, So they're playing two, should be really good teams, but the Galaxy is just wiped out. They got injuries all over the place. They are health-wise, the number of players they have out is significant. And that is going to cause them trouble, especially at a time when the roster is being pushed.
Right.
So.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think if there's any other news or notes, tidbits, City SC-wise. Ola Melberg took a risk in the San Diego game, and they only traveled with 18 players. They left. You can suit up 20 on a game day, and they only suited up 7 reserves, one of which was a backup goalie, so 6 field players. Now, you can only bring in 5, so technically you're not going to need more than 5. But they left some guy.
They left people back.
They left it back. And Melbourne felt better for Thomas Ostrak and Michael Wenzel and Joey Zielinski, all first-team players, to get games with City 2, they had a preseason game last week, and to get that playing time. And all 3 of those guys were back training with the first team today.
Gotcha.
So so we'll see what that means. City 2 opens its season on Sunday with the game in Arlington, Texas against North Texas, which is Dallas's team, and which was the MLS Next Pro champions last season. They beat City in the Western Conference Final, which was kind of the de facto MLS Next Pro championship game because there was an underdog coming out of the Eastern Conference. So that really, the winner of that was going to win it, and it was North Texas.
Yep.
So, and then they're on the road the following week at Sporting Kansas City, and then they will open at home. That, I think, is it on the MLS front. But not on the St. Louis soccer front.
Exactly.
Because as we reported yesterday, and as U.S. soccer has now announced, June 3rd, the U.S. women's team is coming to Energizer Park to play China in a friendly game. It's a the U.S. will have played China a few days before in Minnesota and St. Paul, and then they'll come to St. Louis for a Tuesday night game, which is also a tribute to the retired Becky Sauerbrunn, really one of the legends of U.S. women's soccer.
Yeah.
You know, case to be made when you look at someone who's had 219 caps to, I mean, as far as any player, either sex,
right,
in St. Louis. I mean, no one has played that many games for a St. Louis native. And you look at people who are considered the greats. I mean, she's won Olympic gold medals. She's won World Cups. I mean, she's the captain of the U.S. team, you know, for some of those. I mean, done so much. I mean, just as the anchor of the back line.
Right.
Of U.S. women's team's defense for many years.
And a leader for the union that represents the female players.
On and off the field in labor relations, both social causes.
One of the people who spoke out very loudly for equal pay.
Yeah, I mean, a really elemental player in
a lot of
American soccer. And from here, grew up in Ladue, went to Ladue High. Then went to college at Virginia and did not play professionally on the St. Louis women's teams. She has played in three different, I think, women's leagues, which is kind of amazing.
Amazing might be what it's sad is another word for it. Looking at you had to have three.
They've learned with each one. And they're still learning. NWSL still learning.
Yes.
Lots for them to pick up on. But anyway, she'll be back. She'll be in town for that, actually, because she works for TNT now in her spare time, and which broadcasts the game. So she'll be on hand. But it will be a nice. So this is a farewell tribute to her for what she has done for the U.S. women's team and the game. So that will be an emotional night, I'm sure. This is the women's soccer calendar is different from the men's soccer calendar in that the women play their two big events, the Olympics, which is a big event for the women, and the Women's World Cup, in consecutive years.
Right.
So the Women's World Cup was in 2023, the Olympics was in 2024. And so 2022 is the build-up year to get ready for that. Then, you know, it's when qualifying happens and things like that. And 23 and 24. And then the year after that, everyone kind of exhales.
And collapses in exhaustion.
And that's the year we're in now.
Right.
And that's the year where coaches look at younger, newer players and say, who can we bring into this system going forward that we'll want to use in the next go-around? And so that is where they are right now.
Right.
And so Emma Hayes, the coach of the U.S. women's team, has been looking at younger players. And they just had the She Believes Cup, which is an annual event that U.S. Soccer does, which brings in three countries. And it's a good competition on a yearly basis. And
it's a step up from a friendly, but it's not it's not a World Cup. Yeah.
There's a cup involved, but it's not a cup that anyone's going to, you know, pass down to the children years from now. Remember that She Believes Cup we won in 2025. Japan won
it this year. It's also horribly named, but that's a whole nother rant I could go on. So.
Yeah. But in any case, they came in second in that, losing to Japan in the final. And so this will be a younger team that we will likely see here in St. Louis. The Triple Espresso has not been playing in these games as they rest injuries.
Right.
Though we've seen some new young players who have looked quite promising.
Yeah.
Ali Sentinor has been a dynamo in these past few games she's played and is someone who is going to be very exciting to see going forward. So they've got questions. So this is, for them, they're still trying to explore as to what, you know, exactly the direction for the U.S. women. And Hayes came in the middle. I mean, she jumped right into the competition.
It was a trial by fire, for sure.
I mean, they had basically like no training before, you know, with her before they went to the Olympics.
Right.
And so, so this is also a chance for her to put more of her imprint on the team. But it also tells you that, and obviously this game, you know, is here because of Becky Sauerbrunn. And if Becky Sauerbrunn didn't exist, it might not be here. But this is going to be the second time for the U.S. women. The men have already been here three times in the 2 years plus that the stadium's been open. They might be here another time this summer. We haven't seen what the Gold Cup schedule looks like yet.
Okay.
There will be a Gold Cup games in St. Louis.
Right.
As to whether or not it's St. Louis gets to, the U.S. is in the games that are selected for here or not, we don't know. But it's obvious that, you know, and it's a tip of the hat tribute to St. Louis soccer fans that they support not only St. Louis City, but support the U.S. national team in its many ways, and that U.S. soccer
is recognizing that.
Right. And, you know, U.S. soccer is not stupid, and they're like, look, if we play this game in St. Louis, we know we're going to get 18,000 people at it. We're going to play this game in St. Louis.
If we say we're honoring, and they're not just saying they're honoring Becky Sauerbrunn, but if they do, that'll bring in some more people who are big fans of hers.
But it's a case of the fans have voted with their with their feet and with their pocketbook, and that has their wallets, and that is to keep U.S. soccer coming back. You know, we'll see how they fit in the build-up to the 2026 World Cup.
Right.
Because it's a slightly different dynamic on that one.
Right.
Because those will all be friendly matches.
Yes.
And when St. Louis is perfect for matches that count for World Cup qualifiers.
Okay.
Because it's a smaller atmosphere. When you've got 20,000 seats and you say, and first dibs go to St. Louis City season ticket holders. Okay, now you're going to get, you know, 19,000, you know, U.S. fans there. As someone who's been doing this a long time, I have covered any number of U.S.-Mexico games in this country in which there would be 60,000 fans and you'd have 58,000 of them, you know, rooting for Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened, I mean, it's why the U.S. only plays games that don't matter against Mexico in Southern California. but they will never play a, you know, U.S.-Mexico World Cup qualifier
in Southern California
because they will not have the home field advantage.
Right.
That's how it goes. But, again, Becky Sauerbrunn, marvelous person, marvelous player, you know, deserves, you know, the tribute. 10th most caps in U.S. women's soccer history.
That's a pretty incredible stat.
I mean, that's, well, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
219 games is a lot. I mean, the perspective, I mean, there's no U.S. men's player that comes anywhere remotely close to the numbers because the women have, over the years, played so many more games.
Right, because they dominate.
Yeah. Well, and they play, well, you know,
I know.
They play more games because in many years there was not a women's league for other places for them to get games.
Exactly.
So.
Double-edged sword.
Yes. So, yeah, but as the soccer world is changing.
It is changing. It is.
So I think that brings us up to speed on the issues of the day.
Yes.
What else do I need to say? I need to say something else.
Need to say something else. So a bit of housekeeping about the podcast itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, did it?
No. This one.
unlike most of the rest of this podcast, we wrote this part down so we wouldn't forget what to say. Tom.
A quick programming note to our loyal listeners, and you are loyal, and I salute you. As you might know, here at the Post-Dispatch, subscribers power most of our work, allowing us to cover St. Louis City SC and soccer in St. Louis completely, including this very podcast. Starting next week, STL Soccer Talk will be available exclusively to our MVPs, our Post-Dispatch subscribers. So if you're already a subscriber, thank you. You'll be able to hear the pod at stltoday.com/podcasts. Just like now, nothing will change. Your life will go on in the blissful way it always has. If not, if you're not a subscriber, please join our growing audience by going to stltoday.com/story to see the subscription offers available. And if you're listening to this and aren't a subscriber, you know how much fun it is.
Exactly.
So that being the case, why not to join us again next week? Again, thank you to the subscribers, and we hope to hear almost all of you again next week.
Well, we hope that almost all of you will listen to us next week.
Yeah. I'll have to play the tape back.
You're good.
Anyway, Beth, anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, and until next week, be seeing you.